Merry Christmas. I bet you never read the story out of Luke chapter 2 the same again, right? You'll find yourself clapping and flapping like an angel and all kinds of things. I am so glad that you're here worshiping with us this Christmas Eve. Christmas can be stressful. It can be complicated. I mean, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the older they get, they get very focused on equal distribution of gifts, right? They want to make sure everybody's getting the same amount. So they count all the presents under the tree. And if that isn't enough, they want to make sure that similar density, size, and shape between everybody. If you're married, or if you're dating someone and your spouse says, as an example, honey, don't worry about it. You don't have to give me anything this year. I don't really want anything. It's fine. Just don't give me anything. And they seem so sincere. They seem like they really mean it this time. Listen to me. They do not mean it. It's a figure of speech. You don't need to buy me anything. It's code for you better buy me something, right? And the more emphasis that is put on you really don't need to get me anything this year, the bigger the present needs to be. It's a setup. Don't fall for it. It's a sting. I want to share with you a true story that I'm calling Even Santa Praise. A few years ago in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Steve Dane, the father of a young daughter, Taylor, took her to the Bass Pro Shop to see Santa. Only in Oklahoma, right? You go to the Bass Pro Shop to see Santa. And even though he didn't know what gift Taylor was going to ask for Christmas, he agreed to wait in a line where there's 100 people in front of them. But when Taylor made it to the front of the line, he pulled out his phone because he wanted to film this conversation between her and Santa so he could learn what it is that she was asking for. Would it be a new outfit? Is it a new toy? A game? What is it? She crawled upon Santa's lap and started to cry. And through her tears, she told Santa all that she wanted for Christmas this year was for her cousin Ashley to be healed from leukemia. Santa put his arms around Taylor, embracing her even more. And he said to her, "Honey, I don't have the power to heal, but I happen to know someone who does." And then this is what happened.
Father God, I come to you right now and I lift up Ashley. Lord, I know that leukemia is a horrible disease, but I also know that you are the great physician. You can heal. And now I just pray right now that you will begin the healing process on Ashley. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Even Santa Praise. What would happen if we stopped to think about all of the gifts we would give but we cannot? Because we lack the ability to heal those people who are sick, save those who are far from God, encourage those who are unaware of their purpose, guide those who are absolutely lost in life, give hope to those who see no hope for the struggle that they're in. What would happen? I wonder what would happen if we shifted our attention this year, this evening, maybe tomorrow morning, from the gifts we can give to the gifts we cannot give. From our bank account being the answer to a perfect gift, shifting to the Savior of the world be the only gift that matters. From our ability to make someone happy in that very moment to the Savior who causes all joy. From a gift that stops the pain for even just a brief time to a Savior who lives outside of time. From a brief family gathering to an eternal Savior. What if even for a moment we saw Christmas through the eyes of someone who's filled with grief, who knows that this is the first year that their loved one won't be with them? Through the eyes of one whose spouse just cheated or abandoned the marriage. Through the eyes of someone who has cancer and they don't know the future. Through the eyes of the lonely who feel like no one cares and no one sees them. Like the Santa in the story I shared, there are many presents we cannot provide. But it is my prayer that you know the one who can. Jesus, Emmanuel, the Savior of the world. For those of us who grew up celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Christmas story can kind of sometimes become routine and sometimes too familiar. It easily slips from a story of this awe to simple facts of history. We rattle off the events such as Mary gave birth to Jesus, and then the shepherds and the wise men, they came to see him. And in the same way, we tell somebody about a movie that we just watched. But when you stop to really consider it, the story of Christmas is anything but normal. It is absurd. It is full of biological impossibility, strained family dynamics, emotional turmoil, supernatural encounters, a failed assassination attempt, and people asked to do the craziest things. I want to invite you for just a couple of minutes to really engage with the Christmas story and experience and imagine the same emotions and maybe the same feelings as those who were there. Ladies, how would you feel if God told you that you're carrying his son? Feel the fear of telling your fiance and parents that you are pregnant and having to confess that Joseph is not the father. Can you sense the shame as the village whispers about you? Imagine the weight of knowing you're carrying God's son and you don't want to mess the whole thing up. Men, how would you feel if your soon-to-be wife comes to you and says, I'm pregnant, and you know that you're not the father? Can you feel the betrayal and the rejection and the heartbreak of Joseph based on wrong conclusions about Mary until God sends an angel and he straightens it all out to make sense of? How would you feel on an ordinary night taking care of your sheep if an angel of the Lord showed up to say, drop everything you're doing and go? And you're standing there and you're wondering, was that a dream? What just happened? Am I making this up? What if you were one of the servants in the entourage of the Magi? You're following your master who is basing his journey on a star. It's no short journey either. It's weeks, months. Some people say it's even years before you arrive at your destination. How long would you keep walking to a place to meet a person no one else seems to even know about, with only a star as the guide? The story is full of one crazy event after another. But the joy of this season is that with each twist and turn, the story, God finds people who choose to follow him when the challenge to believe what they have not seen and do what they've never done. Remember, there are many presents we cannot provide, but we can know the one who can. The first Christmas came almost in complete silence. I thought about for a moment just having this room be complete silent. Then I remember there's kids here. But just imagine the complete silence. All but for the angel's message proclaimed to the shepherds out in their fields keeping watch over their flocks. In just a minute, we are going to be lighting candles and singing Silent Night together. The light came and it pierced the darkness. As the Christmas hymn states, Silent Night, Holy Night, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Jesus' birth was not greeted by the religious rulers of Israel, or the wise, or the powerful, or the mighty. There were no Christmas parades, no parties, no bonfires to light up the night sky. And yet God was working in the silence of that first Christmas. For the Christ, the Savior, and the hope of the world was born in Bethlehem. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this amazing biblical account, the true account in Luke chapter 2 of the birth of our Savior, Emmanuel. Thank you for loving us so deeply, Lord, that you would send your son in the form of a baby to be born so that eventually he could die and that he could shed his blood for the remission of our sin. Lord, thank you for the entry of the gospel. It begins in the manger. Thank you for your love and your grace that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this evening that has never surrendered their life to this Savior that I'm talking about, I pray that tonight would be the night. I pray that there would be some who would just cry out to you and say, I need help. I'm lost. I want to know you. And they would admit their sin, confess their sin to you, and realize that that's what's keeping them separated from a relationship with you. And then that they would invite your forgiveness for their sin, and that Jesus would become their Lord and Savior this evening, tonight, in this very place. We trust you, Lord, in all of that. Thank you for this privilege of gathering to celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.